be a message for another time. We'll see how it goes today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to continue our series on the power of being intentional. I'm going to just share something with you very, very quickly before we get into it. I'm going to need you all to pray for me over the next 2 weeks, because something's been stirring inside of me, and a word called "not of this world." Somebody said "not of this world." It's been stirring for a few weeks, and let me know the body of Christ, Christians I'm talking about, we need to realize that we're not of this world. And there's a pervasive spirit and a mindset that seems to be sweeping through the church and all churches. How many of you know sometimes we get saved, we get born again. This is where I'm going to go. This, and I'm going to step back because I don't want to get some of you mad. I'll get you mad in a couple of weeks. Yeah? I mean, no, sometimes we get born again. Somebody said born again. And the Bible says that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And sometimes when people get saved and born again, it's like sometimes the black or the white in them don't get saved. Or they're more black or they're more white, or they're more culturally identified with where they're coming from than with Christ. Yeah, yeah. Are you hearing me? So we're going to be addressing some of that. We might even post it out there. Praise the Lord, because there is a spirit. And that's fine. Amen. But if we're not educating ourselves and allowing the grace and our divine identity to prevail, nothing should trump your Christ-like identity. And I didn't mean a pun by the way, when I said Trump. Nothing should trump. Yes, as Christians, we need to look out for the marginalized, the disenfranchised, the persecuted, whether they be black, white, Chinese, yellow, pink, blue, whatever. Amen. But we also need to arm and equip ourselves, because when we see certain people coming under certain persecutions and plights, we could get offended for them. But there is a perspective that the church needs to have and view things and deal with things as outside, not of it, but from this position. When you're in it, you get caught up in stuff. And you're seeing things from the wrong perspective, and you're reacting from that. So somebody say, I'm not of this world. Because you're not. You're in this world. You're a pilgrim. You're passing through. You're a missionary. You have a different citizenship. Your passport don't say Caribbean, it don't say African, it don't say black, white, Chinese, nothing like that. It don't say white lies, black lies matter. It don't say Ku Klux Klan, water, bam, bam, black panther, white, whatever. It don't say none of that. But anyway, we'll get there. I want to give God a chance to deal with that. I just threw some stuff out there for you to get mad about and crazy about. Or to pray about. Amen. Because if we don't have the right perspective, how can we be lights in this world? If we're allowing the darkness to prevail in us and draw us, and we're identifying with philosophies and ideologies that the world has. Bible says don't love this world. Or the things of this world. In other words, don't get caught up in the philosophy or the values that this world operates under. Somebody said world. The Greek word means cosmos there. This is a different world. And you or I are not of this world. Are you hearing me? Amen. It's serious because people are being taken captive by it throughout the church. And you guys know, you know. There's an agenda that Satan is bringing against the church, and people are being taken captive by it. I won't say they're getting unsaved or losing their salvation, but the enemy does take people captive, deceives them. And next minute, they're no longer serving God with the same virtue or passion, because this spirit of offense has grabbed them. Because they didn't have enough truth in them. Are you hearing me? Not of this world. Not of this world. We're not of this world. Amen. So it's very important. We need to pray for saints, for brothers and sisters, and we need to pray for the body of Christ. And pray and I ask you to pray for me, because I'm going to do some prayer and fasting. So when we come hard and strong, and they're not going to know about it. Amen. All right. They're going to know about it. Praise the Lord. It's going to bring a lot of flack. It's going to bring a lot of fire. Anyway, praise the Lord. I suppose I'll get some of you going to unfriend me, eh? But no, I'll be counting. Hang on a minute. Let me check how many friends I got on Facebook right now. So I know when the numbers start going down. Okay. All right. I'm going to look for you. Yeah, you dare unfriend me. See if I don't expose you. I said, John, Pond, what happened to you, man? Bro, Bible says a brother and a friend for all times, man. So we don't want no fair weather people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I'm just going to be real, real quick today. I'm going to preach on one thing, just one subject, one point today. Somebody said, bless God. Praise the Lord. But I don't believe him. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And the word of God says, have this attitude, or your attitudes to be the same as that as Christ Jesus. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. Another translation says, let this mind or this attitude be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. With attitude, I want you to turn to two people and say, make sure you have a pleasant attitude. Or if I really wanted to just, that sounds kind of strange, you know. You know what? Just tell your neighbor what you want to tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, listen, don't make sure your attitude don't stink up the place. That's what that means. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we bless you for your word, your grace, your power to our lives. We thank you for each other. We thank you for fellowship. We thank you for brothers. We thank you for sisters. We thank you for the fellowship with the Holy Ghost. You, yourself, your personhood, who you are by the Spirit of the living God. Father God, saturate our hearts and our minds with this day. Father God, may our hearts grant us the grace to bow our hearts and our minds, to open our soul and our very mind to your influence, Heavenly Father. To your word, let your word go forth on the divine inspiration. Quicken, may it be made relevant to our lives and hearts, to our very existence. We pray, speak resoundly, resolutely. May your word echo, reverberate, and resonate, Father God, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. May your word overtake us, supersede every worldly and philosophy and mandate. Let your ways, Heavenly Father, supersede our ways, and your thoughts supersede our thoughts. May we be aligned to you, we pray, through this word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Watch over it. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, have a good attitude. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may go ahead and be seated. Amen. This is the second installment of the series that we've been going through of the power of being intentional. Somebody say intentional. Now, last week, we understand that to have intent means it's the state of a person's mind. Somebody says state of a person's mind. Amen. A disposition that motivates or directs their actions towards a specific goal or objective. Amen. Intentional. Last week, we explored and discovered that God is intentional. And we also realized that God also has the power, somebody say the power, to make his intentions become reality. Huh. Some of you want to marry somebody. That's your intent. Anyway, let me move on. Being intentional is quite a powerful dynamic to be operating in one's life. Somebody say power. Because intent to be intentional is powerful. And God has given you and I power. We looked at this last week. We're not going to elaborate on it, but power or authority is effectively the measure of a person's ability or capacity to affect change in their life or somebody else's life. Somebody say power. the more power, the more authority or influence one has, then the more you're able to affect change and transformation in your life and somebody else's life. 2 Peter 1 tells us that peace and grace be multiplied to you, and that God has given you divine power, a power, amen, for anything that you may have need of to do that pertains to life and godliness. And there's a, and so power could, through, the Bible says, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the degree of and the influence of our power, what we can do, what we can achieve, amen, can increase, can be multiplied through our relationship as we get to know Christ. Again, Ephesians 1, 17, 18, and 19. Paul says, listen, I'm praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that you will come to know the power that God thinks towards you. In other words, how many people know we can grow up in God? And the more we grow, the Bible says to grow in the knowledge and in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why ought we to grow? Because the more we grow in the knowledge and the grace of him, it allows us to be more powerful, to effect more change in our lives and transformation, and walk more in what he has called us to walk in. It also goes on to say in Ephesians 1 that not only am I praying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that he'll open up your eyes and heart, that you may come to know also your inheritance. Somebody say inheritance. What you have in Christ, what is yours? Not what we've been begging for and asking for and pleading for, but God, the word says, I want you to know what is already yours. What is your inheritance in the saints? And I want you also, I'm also praying that you will come to come to know the hope. Somebody say hope of God's calling. Imagine that. God's hoping. God's called us and he's hoping that we realize what he's hoping for and how and what he's calling us to. Somebody say, God's calling me. Somebody say, God's called me. And I've answered the call. Now, the call of God is like an echo, 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 echo. He don't just call you once. He keeps calling you. Amen. There's always be the challenge of God upon your life. How many of you know God will always challenge you? You may have failed today or yesterday, and you know how we start thinking, oh, that's it. Let me tell you something. God never takes the challenge off of your life. Never. He keeps calling. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is that a reverb or echo over there? I wish the sound guy would just help me out. Anyway. Praise the Lord. He keeps calling. Don't quit on yourself. Don't ever think God's ever quit. The Bible says that the giftings and the calling of God are with what? Without repentance. That means that he ain't going to change his mind. I mean, no, God don't do change. He don't do change. In him is no shadow. The Bible says there's no shadow. There's no turning. In other words, when God starts something, he aims to finish it. Even though you or I might, we want to quit and cross our hands and cross our feet and say, that's it. I ain't doing it no more. I ain't playing this game no more. God's there knocking on your door saying, come on. We ain't done yet. Until the proverbially weight challenge lady sings. Anyway. Proverbially. Praise the Lord. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Somebody say attitude. Amen. Attitude is a type of power. Amen. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says this, therefore I remind you to stir the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I'm not going to break down that scripture. I just want us to look at a sound mind. Somebody say sound mind. This has something to do with our mentality, with our mindset. What is a sound mind? This is telling us that God has given you and I the ability to harness. Somebody say harness. You know what harness is when you got this wild horse and you just take this the girdle and everything, and you just put the ties or whatever is on the horse's head and you harness it. This horse is so powerful. This horse has so much potential. But as long as this horse is wild, there's not much direction. It's just kicking and bucking and jumping over here and running wild over there. But God says, listen, I'm going to give you the power to put a harness on this horse so that you could direct this horse. And that's what that means there when it says God has given you and I a sound mind, because you know and I know our minds are quite powerful. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know what our minds not under control do. What we can think, what we have thought, what we have done. And where did it all start? In our minds. My mom used to say to me, Robert, you lost your mind. How many of you lost your mind? It's been over there. And you've been trying to like harness it and just try it. Come on, you need to get your thoughts over here. Oh, pray. Let me talk to this side. There's some real people over here. How many people have lost your mind? You've done some crazy things. You still think some crazy things. Right now, you're just glad that what's in your mind ain't up on that screen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Fitty. Come on, guys. Behave yourselves. This ain't that kind of party today. Amen. So the Bible says that God is, now God's, listen, when the Spirit of God arrests us and he comes on us, he says, listen, I'm giving you a sound mind now. I'm giving you the capability to admonish yourself. Some versions say self-control, to moderate yourself now, to discipline yourself with respect to the things of God. With respect to the things of God. In other words, now, and listen, whether you knew this or not, but you know it now, listen, you can start to control your mind. I know you ain't used to doing it, but a little bit of practice and a little, you know, just doing everything, and consistency and practicing and using God's word, all of a sudden you begin to realize, hey, I'm actually finding my mind and getting more control as the days and the hours and the weeks and the months go by. It takes a bit of time, somebody, can you say amen? But you've got control of your mind. Somebody say, I've got a sound mind. I've got a sound mind. I've got a sound. You know what that means? That it's not broke. It's sound. It is solid. It is firm. It is rock. It is sound. I'm not crazy. I'm not mad. Somebody's trying to tell me that I'm mad and that I'm going crazy, but I have a sound mind. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody says, I've got a sound mind. So there's this, and I don't even know, attitude is a thing of the mind. It's a disposition, it's a perspective. Somebody said, I don't even know, the mind is where we think. The mind is, what takes place in our mind is what we think. But everybody thinks stuff. Oh, jeez. I said, everybody thinks stuff. Don't you have to switch on that TV and put your thoughts up there now? Because I can do it. I can say one prayer. And I put him up there and she up there. And there'll be a picture of you in the corner going. And your neighbor will be going, ah! God, jeez. Hey, make sure you're saved, you know. Because that's exactly what's going to happen when we stand before God, man. And if you ain't blood washed, woo, everything's going on the screen. I said, everything's going on the screen if you had your sins forgiven and washed with the blood of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. People going to be there with 4K HD. All right. Praise the Lord. Somebody say sound mind. Now, where was I going off track, man? Jeez. That's it. Amen. Attitude is a thing of the mind. Somebody say attitude. Attitude is not about what you think. It's more about how you think. Because we all could see the same thing, but have a different attitude concerning it. It's the disposition, it's the perspective, it's the slant, it's whether we're gonna look to the left and think left about it. Well, that's my left. Or right about it. Well, that's my right, but your left. Somebody say attitude. And I know you guys. I know where most of you come from. And I know where most of you are raised. And I know that you're people of attitude. Some of you still got attitude. Praise the Lord. And attitude, I want to tell you something. Attitude is powerful because it comes from your mind. How many people know God will anoint and empower and put a supernatural touch of grace upon your attitude? Oh, you didn't believe me. So long as your attitude lines up and is in alignment with his narrative, with his purpose for your life. How many stubborn people we got in the house? You see? I said the word stubborn, and everybody thinks stubborn is a bad thing to be. It's your attitude. What is your attitude? What is your everyone was thinking about stubbornness, but what the difference was how we fought about it. I said, how many stubborn people we got in the house? You need to be stubborn resisting the devil. Come on, somebody. I said, how many stubborn people we got in the house? How many of us need to be stubborn? Amen. Somebody say attitude. It can be defined as a positive or negative evaluation of people, objects, events, activities, ideas, or just about anything in your environment. Somebody say attitude. Attitude is something that you choose or can choose. You may not have been able to choose it before. Maybe the devil was having his way and the world and circumstances and situation were having their way. But God has given you and I, John 1 and 14 says that he has given you and I the right, the power, the authority to be children of God. Timothy also says there, we read it, that God has given us a what mind? Sound mind. Second, Philippians 2:5 says what? Let this what? Mind or this attitude. Let, permit, allow, embrace, or choose this attitude. This attitude is something that you choose. If you got, let me tell you something. If you're upset, you're mad, you got a stinking attitude, guess what? You chose to have a stinking attitude. Because it's a lot easier to have a stinking attitude than a godly attitude. Where we're upset and we're mad and we're going, how many people know we actually choose that? We chose that. We went to some intentional lengths, deliberately, on purpose. I mean, some of us, it didn't take much deliberateness, because how many people know we're kind of like conditioned to have bad attitudes anyway? Come on, can you? It doesn't take much for some of us to cop an attitude, does it? A bad attitude. Yeah? Yeah. Not unless you've purposely disciplined yourself for a number of years to have good attitude, then it'd be a lot harder to have a bad attitude. Because some people know when you discipline yourself in the things of God, and where once upon a time you used to do this easy, yeah, and then you've been around the Lord, you've made some changes over the years, and you start doing that less and this more. After a while, now you turn this way and you're walking with God this direction. When that comes along, it's a bit, you really sometimes you really have to be intentional and on purpose have to go and sin and do something that you used to do just like that, at a drop of a hat. Oh, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, there's hope for me. I just threw that out there for someone. There's hope for you. Change is coming. Keep going. Keep going. Don't think the stuff you used to do over here has got you. Just keep going. And after a while, you start walking this way. And when that way calls you, it'd be a lot harder to do that. I remember just before I got saved, man, I was like plastic, man. I had one of them rubber necks. How many sisters could say amen? See anything? Wearing a belt? No. Oh, pray, going real quiet in here now. Then I got saved, man. All right, come on now. You got to stop that. Come on, behave yourself. Keep the head straight. Now, man, I got. Anyway, praise the Lord. I don't want none of you trying to test me. Praise the Lord. You get the point. Attitude. You choose it and you can train it. You can discipline yourself to have the right attitude. Tell your neighbor, attitude is powerful. Numbers 14, verses 23, 24. And God says here that that Israel shall not, that these people shall no by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me, didn't believe me, you know, they copped a bad attitude, an unbelieving attitude. But verse 24 says, but my servant Caleb, he has a different spirit, he has a different mentality, he has a different attitude. And he has followed me, he has believed me fully. His word of God says, I will bring him into the land which he entered. The defining factor between him and a million other people was that he adopted and embraced, come on somebody, and deliberately held to the right attitude. It's the way you think. Somebody say the way you think. That's what the Bible says, that he has a different spirit. The way, spirit, you know, spirit. You see, spirit usually is some kind of invisible force. Don't always mean the devil or demon, just something that's kind of like floating around. Amen. A tendency. Look upon the spirit upon him. Certain ways some people have about them. Look upon them spirit. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, there's not always a devil or demons. That's why spirit can be a thought process. Amen. I bind that spirit. Praise the Lord. So he says, this guy's got a different spirit, man. He's got a different attitude. Somebody say attitude. It's something that that's what I'm talking about, attitude today, because it has to be, it's something that I believe has to be forcefully employed. How many people know possessing the things of the kingdom of God ain't for sissies. You get male sissies and you get female sissies. All right, I didn't say ain't for women. I ain't going there because you lot raised too many. Pick me by yourselves and provide for them. Well, the rest, anyway, hallelujah. I said, possessing the things of the kingdom is not for sissies. It's not for docile, compliant, weak, lily-livered, spineless, yellow-bellied people. The kingdom, the word of God says the kingdom of heaven does what? Suffers violence. In other words, it's not going to just lay down and say, yeah, come and possess the things that God has for you. But it says the violent take it by force. And I know that inherent within each and every one of you here is the capacity to be violent. Not because I've seen what you used to do back out there in the world. But because of what God has endowed and put within each and every one of us, he says he's not given us a spirit of fear or timidity. God ain't given us a spirit or a way about you and I that just wants to curl up and hide in the corner and say, help me, help me. How many people know God put some power deep down on the inside of you? He put something inside of you that will just say, you know what, that will just cop an attitude. Say, you know, this is the way I'm going to think. This is the way I'm going to approach this area of my life. When this turns up in my life, this is the way I intend I would deliberately think this way. I can't afford to be docile or weak and timid or anxious or withdraw, because God can't bless that. The power of God will move according to your attitude. When our attitude and how we think and have got lines up with what God wants to anoint. Because some people try to do things and want God's power to bless them. How many people know we need to move in the power of God? By the Spirit of God. And we are led by the Spirit of God. We need to find the narrative of God. Somebody said we need to find the narrative of God. What I mean by that? I think it's First Timothy 18. It says, this charge I commit to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience. Somebody say faith and a good conscience. Wage a war. You see, You know what? For them to get there, how many people know you need to have an attitude about your life? Your life, not just everybody else's life. Oh, geez, hallelujah. You know, some of us, you know, one way of being like sissified is to pretend and hide our passivity. We're talking about, oh, we're doing it for everybody else. It's not about me. I got some news for you. How many people know God cares about your life? Yeah? That there's something particular and unique that he wants to see take place in your life. For your life. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for us coming together, you know, as a body working together. Amen. And serving in the house of God, serving through the house of God. How many know it needs to be mutually beneficial? Amen. That there should be something taking place. Amen. Amen. Where the house of God is also being beneficial for your life. That something needs to take place in your life. Amen. This is a mutual relationship. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes you know what you gotta help people because they can't help themselves. But there comes a time when there needs to be some type of reciprocation. Oh, praise the Lord! You do for your church, and your church should do for you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Ask not what you can do for what your country can do for you. But what? Was that Winston? Oh, I thought it was Kanye West. Sorry. Oh, praise the Lord. See? Your pastor is a history buff. I'm edumacated. Amen. I've matriculated from the upper echelon of society. Hallelujah. Can we move on? I keep losing my track. You look, he's making me lose. It's you. Fix your eye. So what I'm saying, that there's something God is interested in your life. Question is, what's your attitude towards your life? And the destiny, that unique and personal destiny. The word of God, what's the word of God say concerning that? Let's look at Abraham, verse 14, 18. And when I talk about the narrative, how do you hear prophecy for your life? You know, when you ever been in the presence of God and something's being said and something just touches on something that nobody knew about, and you feel this stirring and this quickening inside of you, and you get this picture of this area of your life. The Holy Ghost just begins to like paint this picture or touch this area of your life, or you feel something, you know, that nobody else knows that you're feeling or sensing, or you've just been talking with somebody about some issue, about some problem, or last night you was crying over something, and then you come into the presence of God, whether it's this church or some other church, and you somebody else who is there with you, and they know what's going on, and then something is said, and then you start, hey, this word's for you. Hey, I mean, no, that's prophecy. That's God speaking particularly to you. And that's why it really gets me, because some people ain't got the right attitude when they come to church. They just come to church, they sit down, hear what they want to hear, ain't got no pen, ain't got no paper, ain't taking no notes, and ain't even listening to the message during the week to see what God spoke to them. That's a stinking attitude. That ain't going to help you. You're supposed to be waging war according to God's narrative. For your life, what he's speaking to you. This ain't no cinema. This ain't no entertainment factory. I know the body of Christ, generally that's a lot of what's going on. People want to, yeah, and entertain people, and people leave the church and say, yeah, church was powerful. There ain't nothing powerful until it's been realized in your life. You know, listen, all church will be is a place that's filled with power. It ain't powerful till it's been realized through your life. That's when it's powerful. Until there's a result. Till there's some action that's taking place, some kind of change in your life. Listen, I'm here. I'm here to get the word. Listen, church ain't for you to get the word. Simply. Get the word, renew your mind, but it don't even stop there. It stops at what the Word becoming flesh. It stops at, this is where it stops. The Word, the will of God, the promise of God, actually, you prove the will of God. May I have the Word? You have the Word. You walk around the Word with your big head. Come talk to me when I can see the Word. The result of the Word. That's the Word that we want to see. And God said this, and God said that, and God, you stay there with God said. The Bible says that, listen, when Luke wrote about Jesus, he said, let me tell you about all what Jesus began to say and do. Too much of us are just saying. And there's little doing. Little done. Little accomplished. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, there's a narrative over my life. Ain't got your Bibles. Oh, hallelujah. Ain't got your little markers where you highlight things. Yeah, we want to come in the house of God and want God to bless us. Amen. Got your smartphone. I can call it dumb phones because the last time your phone saw a Bible was, Lord have mercy. If you see a Bible in some of our phones, you'll probably think it's got a bug. How'd that get there? Tell your neighbor, he ain't talking about me, though. I ain't talking about me. Nah, so I know it ain't you guys. Praise the Lord. Take your phone to the shop. Say, you know what? This Bible just popped up on my phone, man. Can you tell me if it's got a virus? Oh, praise the Lord. Turn them phones into real smartphones. Don't let them be dumb phones. Somebody say an attitude. Romans 4:18. Watch this. This is Abraham. In hope he believed against hope. That's attitude. 4:18. In hope he believed against hope. So one part of life, hope, the second hope, told him that there ain't much that could happen for you, bro. I won't hope for much here right now. But how many people know he had an attitude? A pleasant attitude. He said, but in hope, he believed against that hope. And he also had a narrative. The narrative was, so shall your offspring be. In other words, God was saying, you're going to be prosperous. You're going to be fruitful. Somebody say attitude. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years, so the man was old. And his wife weren't saying much either. The Bible says she was barren. But he said, but verse 20 shows us his attitude. And this, let me tell you something. Somebody said the promises of God. When you got stuff going on in your life, or you've had stuff taking place in your life, listen, and God's prophecy is spoken to your life, and something is stirred, hope is stirred inside of you. Seize it. Hang on to it. Because there's another hope that's going to want to come and tell you, don't bother hoping for that. Tell your neighbor, there's Bob hope, and there's no hope. God hope. That's it, yeah, God hope. So there's God hope, and then there's going to be no hope. So Abraham hung on to God's hope. That was stirred, and that promise that was spoken to his life. And you ever notice, as soon as you get ready to serve God, you hear from God, and so that's it, man. You put your foot down, and say, that's it. This is the attitude I'm going to have. As soon as you get ready to serve God and go with God, some kind of madness just comes. That's a different hope. Verse 20 says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. He had a narrative. And he was fighting for it, for his personal life. Proverbs 24, verse 6 says, by wise guidance you can wage your war. Somebody say, I've got my own war to fight. Philippians 2, 12 says, to work out your own salvation. The Greek word is salvation is soteria, salvation. In other words, when God has given you and I something in our possession, and it needs to be worked out. Needs to be worked out, and we need to be careful that we're aligning ourselves so that our destiny is being worked out and not just slaved out. Amen. That you have a mind for your own future, your mind for your destiny, what God wants to do in your household, your family, your life. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You just got to know what? Yeah, we got to help each other. Yeah, we got to be there for each other. You know what? Your life has an agenda, a divine agenda. Oh, jeez. Don't try and skip. I know some people try to skip out of it. But your life has a divine agenda. I said your life has a divine, there's something God wants you to do personally. That's why you should. That's why when you work with people and you're helping people, man, and be careful that you're not trying to just use them for your agenda. And work with people, yeah, bless them and bring them on board and make them part of the team, but always have in mind the agenda that God has for their life. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing me? When people wake up to the agenda that God's for their life, be happy for them. Be happy for them. How many people know that's part of the vision? Be happy for them. Release them. That's what it's about. I mean, there's too much using in this world. Everybody's trying to get everybody to stop doing their thing and come and do my thing and help me to build my thing. And then when you want to go and do your thing, I'm mad at you. You use me. You abuse me. You know what I always say? I thank God I'm blessed enough to be used. Because there's some people in this world ain't no good to you. How many people know? If people could use you, that means God must have blessed you to be a blessing to somebody. God must have equipped you and blessed your life to the point that where you could be a source and a resource to somebody. I was murmuring a comment. We pray, God use me, God use me. And then when somebody uses you, you're mad. Praise the Lord. I'm just thinking about stuff, you know. Hallelujah. Somebody say, we need the right attitude. Take them a fix up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just check the time. I'm sorry. Thank you. Attitude. We've got to be intentional with our attitude. It takes a deliberateness. Attitude. We need to have an attitude about every life circumstance. Attitude. I mean, again, deliberateness. I'm telling you, God will bless your attitude once it's aligned with Him. Last week we looked at that scripture, Luke 9, 51, 53, where it talks about where Jesus steadfastly set His face. He was going to have attitude about His future. And we're not going to just, we'll skip that because we looked at that last week. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 5. We might camp here and finish up here today. And the Word of God says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Wow, what an attitude. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And his attitude to his disposition in life. He said, listen, I've got something incredibly powerful in my life. Resident living in me, yeah, weak me. When he says earthen vessels, he's talking about his human frailties, and that he's not all that, but God still chose him and put the most valuable, the most expensive gift, treasure, and power down on the inside of him. How many people are walking around with that kind of attitude? Or are we walking around like we're not carrying nothing precious? Paul said in Romans 1:16, he says, listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the inherent power of the gospel. Oh, Lord, have mercy. This is a good place then. He says, I got this treasure inside of me. I got this knowledge of God. I got this gospel. He says in Romans 1, he says it is the power of God unto salvation. What I got down inside of me is so, so valuable. So, I know I don't look, I know I'm just an earthen vessel. I know I'm just frail and I'm just broken. And I know I don't look all that. And I know I might limp. But let me tell you something. There's something valuable. There's something powerful inside of me that changes people's lives. That could transform a household and a generation. I know I may be limping. I know I may be sick and diseased. And I might look, but let me tell you something. Paul said, listen, I still got this treasure deep down inside of me. That's the kind of, when you got attitude, you know, when you attitude, you ever see them people that think they're all that? And they walk like they walk and behave like what you call it when people, you know, they walk like they do something. Something older, you know, that they're like they're elite. How many know that's attitude? That's it. They walk like they have an entitlement. Carry my bag for me. Open the door. That's how we should walk with the gospel. When life comes at you, a bit rough and rugged, copper attitude. There's a divine, you have an entitlement to conquer, to triumph, to succeed, to persevere, to endure. You go walk with that. Yeah, that's what you got. You gotta have this like inherent entitlement. Like you somebody's child. Come on, somebody. Because you are someone's child. Like you belong to somebody and like you come from somewhere. And you belong to somebody and you do come from somewhere. You are of God. And the Bible says anything or anybody born of God is born to overcome through their faith. 1 John 5. Whatever is born of God is born to overcome. Got to have this sense of in entitlement. This pastor contacted me just the other day and said, hey, I said something and they picked up, oh, there must be all trouble. Hope everything's all right. I go, it's always all right. How's it going? Well, this happened and this happened and that happened. And I'll say, yeah, this is happening, but I'm blessed. Because I'm entitled to be blessed. And the doctor said this, and this is taking place, and this broke, and I lost that, but I'm blessed. Oh, you didn't hear me. Entitled. That's the attitude. So Paul says, man, Paul said, want to Paul's perspective on life. Hey, I'm walking around life, but let me tell you something. This may look dusty, and it may not look all that, but I have this treasure inside of me. I have this treasure inside of me. Praise the Lord. And he goes on to say in verse 8, he says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got all this stuff taking place in his life. And he ain't going, he's not breaking down. He's saying, you know what? Struck down, but not destroyed. Perplexed, but not abandoned. There's this attitude, no matter what is taking place. You know what? I've got this attitude, this positive attitude. That is continuing to have faith in God. And then he says, no, I'm always carrying around the dying of the Lord in my body. How many of you know when you're walking with attitude, it takes sacrifice. Something's got to die. You've got to die to your doubts, your murmuring, your complaining. And what this is a big one, because I know we all love this one to live, our pity parties. You can't have those parties no more. Woe is me. Poor me. That's gonna die. Something's gonna die. Kill it. There's stuff that's gonna be. If you're gonna have the right attitude, it's gonna kill something. Cause you know, there's a bit of, you know, there's a part of us that's just kind of like, you know, there's a part of us that has to be denied, that has to be killed. He's saying, listen, I'm walking around, man, and I'm walking around, and there's stuff dying in me, but Jesus is living. The power of God's living through me. I'm hurting, and I'm doubting, and I'm in fear, and I'm in doubt over here, but I'm struck down, but not destroyed. Because I choose to have this attitude. Yeah? Persecuted, yeah, but not abandoned, because I choose to have that. So stuff's got to die. I like Paul in Philippians. He says, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Christ. I want to share in the power of His resurrection. And that's where the church, we love the power of God. But then he goes on and says, but I also want to know Him and share in the fellowship of His suffering. When you could identify with your Lord, my gosh. Bible says that he was a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows. Many, many times walking the world with a broken heart. Yeah. A man of sorrows, inner pain, weeping. You would weep too if every 2 minutes everyone kept switching on you. Not understanding you, betraying you, but you're there living for them. You would weep too. Man of sorrows, misunderstood, persecuted, trying to murder him every step of the way, and all he's doing is living for them. The Word of God says he was a man of sorrows. Hebrews 5:7 says that he would retreat and be in tears all night crying out to God. Crying out for God for grace to keep dying so God's power can live through his life. You got something precious in your life. A great treasure. Why did God put that great treasure in you and me? Such weak individuals. So this world will see the power of God in us. So he will get the glory. He will get the honor. Is your attitude that of a world changer? You got this sense of like entitlement. You got to have it. You're blessed to be a blessing. We can't keep coming into to God's house like some sheep. Dumb sheep. Sooner or later, we become a sheep and we follow a sheep, you know. We follow the Lord of sheep. Yeah, we're the sheep of his pastor. But people know, you know, we can switch and become the lions. Oh. I said we can switch and become the lions. We can become the more than conquerors. Oh, praise the Lord. We can become the victors. We can say, come and say, no, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Come on, I know this is going to work for me. Come on, I know this is working for me. And James 1 says, I'm going to start counting it all joy. Somebody said, I'm going to count it all joy. That's a deliberate, purposeful saying, you know what, I'm going to change my attitude. There's something good taking place in my life. You want to see the power of God in your life? Change your attitude. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me today. Praise the Lord. God will anoint. You will see God move as we adjust our attitudes in certain areas of our life. You will see God move. It's a type of faith. Attitude is twinned with faith. The Word of God talks about having faith and a good conscience. Conscience is linked to conduct. Having the right attitude is a conduct. We can have this ship of faith sailing the ocean of our life. And on this ship is the promises of God. But if we don't have the right attitude, the ship could shipwreck. It is twinned with our faith. Attitude is a type of faith. It is twinned. Just lift your hands in this place as well. And right where you're at, make that shift. choose from this day, wherever the Lord has shown you, that you're making that switch with respect to attitude. That you will be robust, you will be tenacious, you will be vicious, you will be violent. You will have an attitude of faith. Even if you're going to have the attitude with tears and with hurt and with pain, you realize that it just doesn't make sense being docile and not fighting the good fight. It may hurt you. That's right. Something might have to die. You'll begin to practice. You begin to implement. You begin to assimilate. You begin to internalize this positive attitude. When all the world is saying debt and hurt, it will never work. Instead of in the past, you may have said, "Yeah, you're right, amen." You will say, "No, I'm going to believe God." Abram, being 100 years old and his body dead, and his wife Sarah was barren, didn't allow any unbelief to prevail in his life. He kept an attitude. He didn't waver, the word of God says, in unbelief. He kept an attitude of believing. Keep the attitude. In the East End, we say copper attitude. Copper attitude. Come right there. Just begin to pray. Begin, open your mouth. The attitude of faith. When you come into that, to the house of God, and it don't feel like it's easy to pray, you just got to do it anyway. You don't feel like lifting your hands, you know what? Lift it anyway. That's attitude. It don't feel like God's moving, it's all right. Sometimes God's waiting for you to move him. Attitude. You don't feel like praising or singing. Attitude. You praise anyway. You praise anyway. Attitude takes discipline. Train up yourself in the ways of God. Discipline yourself. When you get that note from the doctor, attitude. Attitude about your destiny. Come on, pray. Lift your voice in this place. Attitude. Get an attitude against fear, against self-consciousness, and allow God consciousness to reign in your life and your heart. Begin to pray. It's not about what takes place here only. This is just a start. Will you go into the world with a divine attitude, a godly attitude? Will you offer yourself to God and say, "God, I will become that living sacrifice. I will become that man or that woman that walks with an attitude that is aligned with the narrative of my life. Will I believe you for that mountain, for that destiny, for that healing, for that breakthrough, for that salvation? Strengthen me, God. I offer myself to you today, oh God. If you provide send the fresh wind of your spirit and your power and your fire upon the people of this house, upon the children of this house. Fill them, Lord, with your word. Fill them with your truth. Fill them with your narrative. May they walk like a generation that know that they have a treasure within inside of them, an awesome treasure. That they are the definitive difference to a generation of people being blessed or cursed. May they walk, Father God, like a generation. Of conquerors. Like a people that with a sense of entitlement, divine entitlement. Watch this woman. You know, every time when we sit down and watch movies and watch, you know, this is where entertainment could mess us up. Because every time we go to the cinema, we watch a movie, Netflix or whatever, we sit down, we watch it, we get entertained. We see people jumping off of buildings, doing all kind of crazy stunts. And it's just entertainment. We leave it. And then next week or tomorrow night. Oh, wow. And then we talk about it. And sometimes we can mix up that vision with the vision we get from God when God speaks to our lives. How many people know when you're in the presence of God and God speaks to us, what we hear, you know, in the movies, when you see people do crazy things, you don't actually go home and try and do it, do you? We don't go and jump off a building. We don't go and try and do the what's that? Too Fast, Too Furious, XXX, or do that. You know, some of you like them horrors, like The Ring business and all that. No. We don't try it. Well, I hope not. But when it comes to the vision we get from God, we're supposed to leave the house of God. So, right, man, putting that into action. Yeah, I'm going home and doing that. That's me. How many people know what I'm talking about? Don't let divine vision be like television. This is not entertainment. This is training. This is equipping. This is narrative. Jesus says, whoever takes these, Matthew 7:24, he says, whoever takes these words of mine, whoever takes the vision that I plant in their life and their heart and puts it into practice, you're supposed to watch this. And then go home and do it. Are you hearing me? You're supposed to watch this and then go home and try it. If God tell you, man, that he sees you walking on water, you're supposed to go home and run that bath and climb into that bath and walk on water. That's it. You're supposed to do it. Come on, somebody. So somebody say, God, fill me up. Fill me up before I leave this house. Fill me up before I leave this place.